So I want to talk to you this morning about carrying and having the inner flame this morning. The inner fire. The inner fire. Having an authentic fire. We don't need people who are just passionate or enthusiastic. Although that's a result of the fire. We need people who are on fire. You can have two dry sticks, two pieces of wood, and they can shout as loud as they want to. They're on fire, but everybody can see this piece of wood is not burning. We can make a lot of noise. You can have an excitement, but we can see you don't carry the fire. Because the fire of God will carry you through the tough times, through the winter, through the storms, through the battles. The fire of God will get you through persecution. There are too many people when they have a little bit of persecution. Soos hulle sê in die Noord-Kaap, hy vou soos 'n tuinstoel. We all of a sudden we back off. We are called as the church to have power and authority and grit. And if people hate you, criticize you, laugh at you, mock at you, have 2 million opinions about you. Listen, if they did it to Jesus, they'll do it to you. Okay, just realize suffering is okay. The suffering that Jesus had was persecution from the religious people, the Pharisees. He came there and he violated all their rule books. He wasn't the norm. He really came to change people's lives. He cared about people. So we need the authentic versus just passion. Your passion will dry out and then your commitment will waver. But if you have the fire of God inside of you, burning inside of you, you won't just be a up and down yo-yo, secret service, undercover Christian. We don't need undercover Christians. Christianity is not a secret society. We are not a sect. A sect means the hidden. We are out in the public. We're in the city gates of Kimberley. Our doors are open to anybody. We preach Bible. We live passionately for Jesus. It might not be your cup of tea or her cup of tea, but don't call us a sect, possibly. So before there was Pentecost, they were united in prayer. After Pentecost, they were united in purpose. Purpose to go and be a witness, to go and testify and to make disciples. Now you can be an architect, an engineer, a sportsman, a politician, a teacher, a mother, a father, a grandparent, and you can still be a witness, and you should be a witness. So 1 John 2 verse 20, the Bible says, but you have an unction. Say it with me, say unction. Now come on, I want to hear you this morning. Say unction. Help me preach this morning. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. The New King James Version says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. I want to talk this morning about keeping the fire of God alive in your spirit, in your heart. We don't live Christianity out of our head. God is a spirit. He's not an intellect. Although he is intellectual, he's a spirit. So God, and don't get me wrong, we're not against education, intellectualism, your IQ. But you need more than just your cleverness. You need your sharp. You need more than just your sharp and smart. What you need is rhema. Openbaring revelation, like Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who in heaven has revealed it to you. That's what you need. You need rhema. Rhema is a revelation that God himself reveals a scripture. You're reading the Bible and bam, all of a sudden it just makes sense. The Holy Ghost takes the word and he shines a spotlight. We keep the flame alive as we recognize the Holy Spirit acknowledges our lives, and we acknowledge him. I want you to know this morning, the Holy Spirit in you is not silent. He's not silent. He's not quiet. The Holy Spirit in you is alive. And you have divine discernment, you have divine guidance, and you have divine confidence. Confidence. Because of this anointing, because of this unction. You can quickly discern between the fake and the truth. I mean, we live in the Northern Cape. We live in Kimberley. I mean, you can't not know diamonds in the city, even though the diamond industry has taken a massive knock and the mine has been shut down for a while. I know many people who come to Kimberley because they came to buy diamonds and they were caught by fake diamonds. The trained eye will know the difference between a real diamond and a fake diamond. You may get away with it and buy your wife a cheap diamond. Yeah, if you're sitting next to your wife or your husband, just nod him and say, hey, did you buy me a fake diamond? Because you probably wouldn't even know the difference. But the Holy Spirit inside of you will help you discern between the fake and the truth. A fake fire, a true fire. Are you born again? Are you heaven bound? Do you know that you will die and give an account of your life? This is not to scare you into heaven. This is to get you out of your comfort zone and to move forward like a rocket has fire under its bottom to break the hold of gravity and to break through into life. So the Holy Ghost gives you fire to break out of your shell of intimidation, out of your weariness, out of your fear. The Holy Ghost is the fire. It's the propulsion that you need in your life. If there's anybody who can talk about it, it's me. Before I was saved, shy, nervous, a stutterer, a huckler. I shouldn't be speaking in front of one person. My stomach would go in a knot on days of mondeling and orals at school. I was the hockey captain. I had to go stand up in front of a high school and give a speech on how we'd won the game. And everybody's laughing and mocking because I don't have power. But the day we got saved, the day the fire of God enters your heart, God anoints you for purpose. Everything that you lack, God will fill it. Don't say, God, you can't use me. That's what God told Moses. Moses said, but I can't go. How can I go to Pharaoh? I can't speak. I have a speech impediment. God said, I will be with you. Did I not make your tongue, Jeremiah? No, but I'm too young. God is with you. Shake off the excuses. We go with the peace and the unction that's inside of you. You go to one of the clothing stores, Edgar's, Markham's, wherever you shop, I don't know. And they put a tag these days on the clothes. If you don't pay for it, or they don't take off the deactivate that mark, you go out of the shop, what happens? There's an alarm that goes off. And everybody knows it. Showing the poor lady that innocently paid for the shirt and the cashier forgot to take it off. Everybody looks at her and judges her because she's now a shoplifter, but it was a mistake on their side. But the fact of the matter is there's an alarm bell that goes off. Am I right? When you walk out the store and they haven't deactivated that tag that was on the clothing. That's exactly the same thing when it comes to God. When you're walking down the street, there's an alarm that goes off in your spirit. It's called the unction. It's called the anointing of God. It's discernment. It's there to keep the fire alive. It's telling you, don't go there, or do this, or say that. Test the spirit. Guard against the distraction. Know the truth. That relationship is not, that's not your wife, that's not your husband. I'm not saying no, you are married and God's saying no, you must divorce. No. I'm talking about you are going to get married and you're discerning and looking for a spouse. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you there. The Holy Spirit will lead you even in business. Yes, He will. He'll guide you to tell you, no, that's the wrong business deal. Don't do business with that person. Or like He did with Peter, cast your nets on the other side. Oh, but God, we've been catching all night. I've been working so hard. Nothing. There's no breakthrough in my business. Well, nevertheless, at your word, I'll cast my nets on the other side like Peter did. And there was a record-breaking catch. His business turnover quadrupled. He had such a big turnover, he had to even call the competitors to say, come and help us, because our nets are busy dragging our boats down. The Holy Spirit knows where the tax money is for you to pay. Don't sit there and worry with all the debt and the tax that you have to pay. If you will walk with God, He will help you to get out of your debt. Say amen this morning. Decisions that you have to make, the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you. But you see, when we neglect the Holy Ghost on the inside, our fire goes out. We always talk about getting baptized with the Holy Spirit, carrying the fire. What does it practically mean? It means guarding your heart, being sensitive to the unction on the inside of your heart, listening to it, acknowledging I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, reading your Bible, putting the Word of God in your heart. You want God to speak to you, but you've never taken out the time to learn the vocabulary of God. So there are many areas that God wants us to be led and sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Delete that WhatsApp. Don't go onto that website. You'll see when your peace starts to go, when that alarm starts going off, it's normally there's a place where you are now violating Scripture. That's the unction of God speaking to you. People look at us sometimes and say, what do you mean God speaks to you? I'm not saying he's like having a conversation, but we are led by the Holy Ghost. We're sensitive. We know that we know. Yes, there's been times where I've heard God's audible voice in my life. But most times he leads us through the unction, through the anointing on the inside of you. You know, no, it's not right. You can bounce it off Scripture. You can bounce it off leaders, men and women of God that carry the fire as well. I'll talk about that in a moment. In fact, let's talk about it. If you leave Kimberley and you're on your way to Johannesburg, you take the N12. In the old days, like some of you and myself, my parents, we had to. My mom was there in the passenger seat and she's got the map. And my dad's driving and they're fighting because they should have taken the turn off and the map's upside down. The younger generation don't know the struggles of the old days. Come on, old people. No, you're not old. Wiser people. Amen. The youngsters will never know the pain. Pulling off at the garage. Excuse me, how do we get to so and so? They look at us as if, what's a map? I mean, my kids, I was trying to explain to my kids what the computer, like a stiffy, like a memory, like a floppy disk was. They didn't know what it was. So today we have the GPS. Hallelujah. It's an answer. But we still have road signs and they're there to help and they are fixed and they point the way. The unction is the GPS of the Holy Ghost today in your journey with Christianity, with God. And your pastors and men and women of God, mature leaders, they're the road signs. They're fixed and they show you the way. But the Holy Ghost is there to teach you along the journey of life where to go, where to move. The unction is discernment. Don't outsource your discernment. You don't need a prophet to tell you if you should marry that person. The Holy Ghost can put an unction in your heart. You can check the word with Scripture. Check your unction. Check your peace. The inner peace does not come from getting your outer life perfectly in order. Some people, they can only find peace if everything around them is in order. Well, good luck to that. Because the moment you sit down, there's going to be another problem. Oh yeah, I just want my kids to be okay. Well, guess what? God, they belong to the Lord in any way first. Give them over to the Lord. God's got them, okay? But your outer world cannot determine your inner peace, the unction. You have to guard your peace. If you are always anxious, you're never going to hear the fire and the unction and the anointing on the inside. Don't let the outside influences affect you, your discernment, your unction. That's why we have to guard our hearts, guard the inner peace. So how do we activate the unction? How do we keep the fire of God alive in us? Well, we know we have to tarry. 1 John 2 verse 27 says, abide in Him. John 15, if we abide in the Lord, then we will bear much fruit. You need to know the Word of God. You need to take time out to get to know the Bible. A lot of people want to hear God's voice, but we don't want to take time out to get to know the Bible, read the Bible. That's why our third quarter, I'm going to drive the Bible school in our church like never before. From the 4th of August, we are going into the third quarter of Bible school. Some of you, I want to encourage you. You've been asking God for something. You need to do Bible school, the CRC's Bible school. Okay, if you're really serious, if you feel you're called to the ministry, then we'll show you that you can join SATS, South African Seminary, Theological Seminary. But for now, what we need you is to be equipped in the Bible. That's why we have the Bible school. It's starting again on the 4th of August. So you need the Word of God. You need to be rightly skilled. You need to be able to discern and know the Bible, the difference between the Old and the New Testament. You need to know your doctrine. It's not my place on a Sunday to share that. And number three, you need to practice stillness. Woo, that's a tough one, Pastor. Especially all the ladies. No. Come on, brothers, just laugh with me. Lach mit jou, pastoor. Thank God for the ladies. You know, the ladies have to get rid of 25,000 words a day. I think men only have 5,000 words. Men have this ability to just stare into space and not think. And then the wife says, what are you thinking about? Nothing. Don't say nothing. What are you thinking about? We call it the nothing box. Yeah. We just have it. Men are very simple, okay. We're very simple. But men and women need to practice stillness. Cut the noise. Switch off the cell phone. Get rid of the clutter and the distractions. As a church, we're going to start the 10-minute challenge. Find 10 minutes in your life, in your busy day. Busy. You know, we're all so busy. I cut my hair yesterday and my barber, he says, it's amazing to see how everybody is in a rush. He says, Kimberly's not that big. Kimberly's 5 minutes away from everything. Everybody's in a rush. We're all going somewhere. You need to take 10 minutes out in your day. Just practice it. Maybe start with 5 minutes. And just cut out busyness and practice stillness. Then you can, that's how you activate the unction. God's voice in your life. His leading, His promptings, His guidance. Try it this week. We're going to do it as a church in the home cells. 10 minutes a day. That's how you keep the fire alive. That's how you keep your inner peace. Now, keeping everything around you, even though it's out of harmony, even though it's out of balance, you cut it out. And be like Martha, Martha. Jesus comes to Martha's house. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's busy cleaning. I mean, Jesus himself is in Martha's house. And yes, all the ladies say, oh, well, it was because they could go to Martha's house because Martha's house was clean. Thank you, Martha. Thank you for your clean house. But Jesus is here. Now you need to practice stillness. Come and sit at the feet of Jesus. She says, Martha tells Mary, tells Jesus, Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me. And Jesus says, you worry about many things, but one thing is needed. We worry about so many things in our lives, but one thing is needed. Take time out to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that may sound religious, but what it means is just be quiet and allow God to bring your peace back, to breathe on the flame, to keep the flame and the fire of God alive in your spirit. Because there are decisions you are going to make today, and if you are revved up and emotional, like I was yesterday. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we have a lot of keyboard warriors. You know what a keyboard warrior is? Someone who has an opinion. Haters of the church. Mockers. Critics. And I drove past somebody yesterday that had a lot of bad things to say about God and about our church. And of course, being a man, oh, this thing rises up. And you want to stop the car, you want to get out. Yeah, I'm a pastor, but Jesus is still working with me, okay. Ek is nog steeds 'n man. And you want to cause a scene. You want revenge. You want to give them a piece of your opinion. Oh, Jesus, thank you for helping me. Can you imagine that? I don't know where that came from. But listen, before you were saved, you were a fighter. After you saved, you're still going to be a fighter. You just have to fight for the right cause now. You like burgers before you were saved. Now you are saved, you can still like burgers. Amen. We tell the rugby guys, now that you're saved, that doesn't mean now you have to go into the tackle softly. You still have to tackle the guy. The coach will drop you from the team. If you were doing business before you were saved ruthlessly and you're saved, now you must still do business ruthlessly. This time you are just, it's for a different cause now. Ruthless doesn't mean illegal, breaking your word. Ruthless means righteous business. But you must fight. Fight for your place. They had to fight in the promised land. There are battles you have to face as a Christian. You are not called to just roll over and be the white-knuckled Christian who says, come, Lord Jesus, come. You are called to make a difference, an impact, like Jesus did. So the unction will help you, will keep your inner peace. When you remove the unction on the inside, that's when it's easy to blow out your fire, you stop to love, you're in the flesh. And that's when you want to retaliate, you want to, when in essence you need to be led by the Holy Ghost. You have to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. I had to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me for wanting to fight in the flesh. Bless those who curse you, Jesus said. Forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. They did it to Jesus, they'll do it to you. That's why you have to guard your heart, guard the flame, keep the oil burning. Romans 14 verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness. You need to be righteous. Your rechtvaardigheid. You must be saved, you must be justified. You must be regenerated. You must be like John 3 verse 3, you must be born again. Not born of your flesh, but born of the Spirit, where the Holy Ghost does a rejuvenation. You are no longer the old person, and then you must be baptized under water. You say, but I was baptized as a kid. Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need to get baptized again, because the Bible says, repent and be baptized. The kingdom of God is righteousness. It's almost like a step. It's righteousness, and it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have right standing with God, you will never have God's peace. We come in right standing with God because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross through the blood of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. I can't earn my way to heaven. It's not my good deeds. Dis nie my goeie werke nie. It's what God has done for me, which I receive. It is a gift. The Bible says salvation is a gift, so no man can boast. Nobody can boast. If we boast, we boast in Christ. We have a confidence, but we don't have an arrogance or a fleshly confidence that the world has. Because that pride leads to a fall. Pride leads to calamity. I know it's Pride Month, but the Bible talks differently about pride. Okay. The rainbow belongs to the church. Okay. Now we don't, just hear me now, please. Don't hear what I'm not saying. We love every person. But your righteousness comes through Christ, the covenant. And then if you're righteous as we are and as we should be, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace. Peace. Peace in the storm. Peace in the battle. Keep the fire of God. When all hell seems like it's breaking loose, you have a peace on the inside of you. Jesus said, I leave you my peace, not as the world gives, but my peace, which passes all understanding. It's a spirit. It's a force. It's incredible. In Philippians 4 verse 7, it says, guard your heart. The peace of God will guard your heart. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests be known unto God. And then the peace of God shall guard your heart. So we keep the fire alive by keeping guarding the peace of God. And then the next step is to have joy in the Holy Ghost. Some people need joy. Not happiness. Happiness is fickle. I'm happy. I've had an ice cream. we don't live by ice cream. We live by joy in the Holy Ghost. You can be going through a hell in your life, and you can carry joy. The Bible says, it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. We need joy. Amen. I can see my time is getting up. Want jylle raak moeg. Is jylle nog daar? Hello, hello. Isaiah 50 verse 4, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is tired and weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Why does God refer to a learned tongue? Because he causes our ears to open and our unction. We activate the unction of God. We are sensitive to hear what God is saying. So you may sound like a very learned man, but all it is that you've developed your unction. Even David said in Psalm 119, he says, God, you've given me wisdom. You've given me understanding that I'm even smarter than my lecturers, than my teachers. Amen. God can give you wisdom as a young person. You may feel unqualified, but if you have the gut and the faith and the tenacity and the fire of God, you will have the tongue of the learned. You will have the answers, Joseph. You will be able to interpret that problem. You will be like a Daniel. You'll be 10 times more excellent in your generation. You can be a Shadrach, a Meshach, a Abednego, that even though you go through a fire, you have the answer of God on the inside. So you might not feel like you're educated enough or qualified enough, but the Bible says the Lord will give you the tongue of the learned because He opens your ear. He opens your unction. You'll have wisdom at the marketplace. You'll know what to do. You'll be maybe facing a crisis as a family, facing a battle, and you'll know what to do. Because nothing catches God off guard. Off guard. Amen. With the inner voice, the peace. Not the loud outer voice, the small voice. It's the small yes that unlocks the big opportunity. Don't underestimate the small, the stillness. We hear the unction. When you have an inner yes from God, you can boldly face the outer no of the world. When God gives you a yes, and everybody's against you, you know, but God has given me a yes. And you don't have to be arrogant about it, but you can stand. Jesus gave us a yes, a command to go. He gave us a promise. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Joshua 1 verse 5. Romans 8. If God is for you, then who can be against you? You become unstoppable. You become a weapon in God's hand. Allow God to use you. Just imagine if God is your partner in your business, in your career, in your family. Imagine God is one of the most important people in your life. And He backs you. Well, good luck to those who come against you. That was Joshua. He could go into the promised land. He could say, are you for us or are you against us? When you're in the will of God, you're in a safe place. You shouldn't just wonder, what is the will of God for my life? Let me go check the stars. Let me just roll the dice. Let me just, I don't know, what do people say I must do with my life? No, you need to hear from God, the author, the creator of your life. Some of you are going into matric now, or some of you are facing a big career decision. You need to hear from God. We all hear from God. But don't be like Korah in the Old Testament. They all heard and they went to Moses and said, Moses, why do you say you're the leader? Why do you say we must always listen to you? We all hear from God. And they were right. They all heard from God, but they didn't hear what God spoke to Moses. So the Lord just opened up the earth and the Bible says they went straight into hell. I'm sharing this because I want to quote the scripture. It's in Psalm 46 verse 10. The Bible says, be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am God. The author of that psalm was not King David. It was the sons of Korah, the very one who went up to Moses and challenged his leadership and his authority. He said, Moses, they challenged him. God always backs his leader. You must just make peace with that. God calls people and then he backs the people, backs the leader. So Korah and Miriam, his older sister, challenged Moses on his leadership. God says, just make way because I'm going to swallow the earth and they all fall in and they just go straight to hell. But the descendants of Korah, the great, 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 great grandchildren, they wrote a song called Psalm 46 verse 1. They are the ones who understood God's judgment and His mercy and His grace. And they were the ones that wrote Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still and know I am God. Be still. Take 10 minutes this week, every day. Be still and just know He is God in your life. Pause the clutter, switch off the cell phone, the television, a television. Turn it down. Get the kids out of the house. Tell them, dad's, mom's in God's chamber now. Respect it, please. Unless the house is burning down, leave me alone for 10 minutes. And be still and know. And open up your heart. Say, here I am, Lord. Speak like Samuel did. Speak, Lord. I am listening. Be still and know that I'm God. It was written in context of nations that were raging, kingdoms that were going their own way. The command be still means to cease from striving, like Martha, Martha, jy is so besig, hoeveel, hoekom skarrel, just come and sit here. Stop the noise, let your hands drop and listen. Isaiah 30 verse 21, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. God will show you, He will lead you, He will guide you. And there'll be a fire again, it'll burn. Jesus was the best New Testament example. He constantly modeled withdrawing to hear. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, Jesus went off to a solitary place where he prayed. John 10 verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. You need to understand the world is loud by design. Stillness precedes clarity. It's important to test the voices. Sometimes we think it's God, maybe it's just us. Be careful of the danger of distractions. Amen. We live in Kimberley, the mining illustration. In the old diamond rush, miners had to separate diamonds from the tons of gravel. The gravel was loud, heavy, dusty, and there was constant work. There was a constant noise. But the diamond is quiet, it's small, it's hidden, but it has infinite value. Today the world gives us gravel, news, alerts, debt pressure, Facebook arguments, offense, bitterness. But God's voice is the diamond, the unction, the inner fire. You don't have to be shoveling fast. You find it by washing the noise and looking carefully. Spending time. Too many Christians spend their lives moving gravel and they miss the diamond in their life. What about a simple example? The radio. The radio frequency. Kimberley has 5 or 6 FM radio stations. Hello, where's my radio? If you tune to 94.5 or 9, which is OFM, you have Radio Temmening, 5 FM, Radio Council, Radio 2000, Radio Revival, Revival FM, you won't hear. All of them at the same time. It's static. Everything is broadcasting. Only one comes through to the one that you tuned into.
The sound of your life. Here I go.
Download the free app available for Apple and Android.
Amen. Amen. There's a frequency out there demanding your attention, but what are you tuned into? Where's your dial? Are you listening to what that radio station? There's hundreds of radio stations. There are hundreds of television programs. There are thousands of things that are demanding your attention, but you have to dial into the right voice. Say amen. Have you received the word this morning? Come on, God is always speaking. Question, isn't his God speaking? He's speaking. The question is, what am I tuned into? Netflix, WhatsApp groups? What frequency am I plugged in? Listen as I close. There's a digital noise. The average South African, listen no more. The average South African checks their phones 96 times per day. You touch your phone over 2,500 times per day globally. Our attention span as human beings have dropped from 12 seconds in 2000 to 8.5 seconds in 2024. That is shorter than a goldfish. So give yourself a hand. You've been sitting here now for 1.5 hours and your attention span is here. Listen, the world is training us for distraction. But God is training us to guard our heart, for discernment, to plug out the noise and plug into the voice of God. Mental health in South Africa, 1 out of 3 South Africans have a mental health issue in their lifetime. Anxiety is driven by the noise, the clutter of financial stress, crime, headlines, comparison. There's so many reasons why people are suffering with their mental illness. And my wife, please ladies, get ready for the workshop. My wife is going to help empower all, every person. Mental health is a serious challenge of our day today. The weight, the clutter, the burden, the heaviness, the pressure that our souls face to make decisions is heavy. That's why you need to be still and know. Bless the Lord, all my soul. It is well with my soul. You need time out. The world is loud on purpose. What noise are you tuned in? Church, Kimberley doesn't need another loud opinion. It needs men and women who've been in the cave, who've been quiet, heard God's whisper, come out with the fire of God. Hallelujah. Have you received the word this morning? Come on, give Jesus a hand. You're here today not by accident, because God is very interested in your life. I was a young man minding my own business, but Christians, God kept on sending Christians, family members, kept on inviting me to church. Come with us to church. I'm like, leave me alone. I have my personal relationship, whatever that was, whatever that meant. I read my Bible, but if I was honest with myself, I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. If I looked at my actions, especially on the weekend, it definitely wasn't giving God honor and value. I was living a total different life to the way God wanted me to live. And I thank God people invited, prayed for me, cared enough for me to not stop inviting me, sharing God's word with me, being bold, being unashamed. The Bible says in Romans 1 verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. I just want every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody moving, please. I want you to respect this time. Apart from the ushers that are standing up who are part of the service, please, let's just, this is a special moment. Now's a good time to be still and know that He is God of your life. You're sitting here today, regardless of your background. Maybe it's your first time in a church like this. Maybe you're a church goer like I was. I went to church. I went to Sunday school. I read my Bible. But here came the test. The preacher spoke about Jesus Christ dying on a cross, paying a price. And whoever would believe and call upon His name and would repent of his sins, would take up his cross and follow Him, he would be saved. And I realized I had come short. And I acknowledged that day that I was a sinner and I needed Jesus in my life. Just because my parents were Christians or I was part of a Christian home, didn't make me automatically a Christian. I myself had to make a personal decision. And yes, that day I made a public decision. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here today and there's a stirring. There's a voeling in your heart. Dis die Heilige Gees. That's God working in your heart this morning. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please. Allow me the privilege to lead you in a prayer that I prayed 27 years ago. That I thank God I've never looked back. The fire of God has never left me. You're sitting here today and there's not assurance. You don't know that you know that you know that if you were to die today, I'm not saying you will, but if you were, that you would go to heaven, you would open up your eyes and you would say, Jesus, I'm so excited to see you. You would be rather nervous or concerned that you first have to get your life right. And that was the turning point for me. I realized I wasn't saved. But thank God that Jesus extended His hand of grace and mercy. I felt worthless in my chair. I felt, but I'm a sinner. I've got to first get my life right, then God will accept me. And nothing could be further from the truth. The preacher said, you have to come as you are, because no man can wash himself of his own sin. All have sinned, the Bible says, Romans 3. Verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous. Every person is born into sin. You are confused with the fruit of sin, but the nature, the root of sin is that sin has been passed down from Adam. It's a hereditary condition that is in our nature as mankind. That's why the Zulu, the Xhosa, the Afrikaner, the English, the Tswana, we are all sinners. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. This time not of the flesh, but of the spirit. So allow me to lead you in that prayer so you can be born again. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying, the Holy Ghost is here. Die Here is here for Orge. God is here today. There's a stirring in your heart. You say, Pastor Brian, you're speaking to me. You've got my attention. My life isn't right. I'm ready to make that decision. Because God is a gentleman. He'll never force you. The Bible says He stands at the door of your heart and He knocks. But He's not going to wrestle with you your whole life. He gives us a choice. You are free to choose whatever you want to, but you are never free from the consequences of those choices. But the choice is yours. The Bible says He puts before us life and death, blessing and cursing. It says, choose life. Choose forgiveness. Choose mercy. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Then boldly and ashamedly on the count of three, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody moving around or looking around. This is a matter between people today. There's a wrestle, many in the valley of decision. Listen to your heart this morning. God is calling you home. Maybe you're a prodigal, you find yourself in the pigsty like the prodigal, and you know that God has got a much bigger, better plan for your life. Then allow me to pray with you as well, please. While heads are bowed, if that is you, won't you indicate to me right there where you sit, just raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Just slip it up high. Yes, donkey, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Bye, donkey. Yes, there's a stirring in your heart. Come on, lift up your hand. If you know God is speaking to you. There's a stirring in your heart. Thank you. Slip it up high. God is here. You don't have to be ashamed of God. This is not we're not going to catch you out. This is an acknowledging. God, I need you. Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank God I raised my hand. Come on, there are many of you here today. Thank you. Come on, slip up your hand. One last time, you haven't raised your hand, but you know God is calling you. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Family, won't you all look at me, please, in a moment. We're going to close the service. And then we'll do baby dedication before we close. Don't worry. Even if you're a visitor here today, please listen. We'll wait for you. You're going to miss out on nothing today. But first we have to do business, kingdom business. This is the most important decision of your life. You're sitting here today and you raised your hand. Or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have. I want to ask you, please. In a moment, we're going to sing a song. I want to ask you, please, to be bold. Jesus died publicly, so we don't have to be ashamed of Him privately, but we can also be bold and public about our faith. There are many of you that raised your hand this morning. You came with a loved one, a friend, when they're going to come with you because of the encouragement. My dad, my mom, myself, my sister, everybody in my family responded. There's no other way than acknowledging Jesus. Can I ask us all to please stand if you are able? We're going to sing a song, and all you wonderful people that raised your hands, please make your way to the nearest aisle and just come and meet me here. Just come, please, to the front. This is the altar. Just come. We're going to wait for you. Come on, let's cheer them on. Just come. I know God's spoken to many of you.
There is new life, there is freedom.
Donkey.
Donkey. Please. There is freedom. Call on.
Your neighbor say, listen, if you want to
call
go,
on the name
I understand
that can
it can be intimidating.
You
we're
going to
shout, we're
going to
whistle.
Jesus.
Come on, just make your way
there
to the front. Join these wonderful people here. Thank you. Jesus said, unless a man denies himself, takes up his cross, he cannot be a follower of Jesus. Come this morning, come.
There is
gripping. I believe in my heart this time. There's still a few of you. I call it. Maybe three of you still that need to come out. Just come, just come. Began for coming forward. Thank you. You know, it takes a man and a woman that's serious with God to come out and stand here. Thank you for coming out, everyone. I want us all to pray this prayer. Everybody here today, place your hand on your heart. Join these wonderful people. If you're watching online, you know God has been speaking to you and you feel that God is calling you, please, I want you to place your hand on your heart. Open up your faith. Say it loud enough that you can hear your own words. I'm merely leading you in this prayer. It's your prayer. Mix your faith. Say it loud enough you can hear it. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I repent of all my sins and I acknowledge that I need a Savior. Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. I believe you are the Son of God. You died on a cross. You went to hell. You conquered the grave. And on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I put my trust and faith in you all the days of my life. From this day forward, I belong to you. And I declare publicly in this congregation, before heaven and hell, that today I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.